You're listening to the Wellington Mornings Podcast with Nick Mills from Newstalk ZB. Taking the pulse of the city, the capital letter on Newstalk ZB.
Joining us for her regular capital letter slot is New Zealand's Herald's Wellington's issues reporter, Georgina Campbell. The big news, good morning, George.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, yeah.
Great. Don't get a long weekend, like me. Unlucky, sorry to hear that, bad luck. I know you've got 5 days off coming up, that's right, you do better than me. You're one up on me. The big news from yesterday, Reading cancellations, we all knew it was going to be cancelled. We knew that even if they gave them the money, it wasn't going to get built. We knew we were going to have a problem. George, come on, give our listeners the information they're waiting to hear.
It still felt like a bit of a bombshell when it happened yesterday afternoon at this stage. I think I was expecting it maybe to unravel a little bit later on in the piece. But I think there are two things that I want to say about Reading Cinema. One of them is that whether you think it's a good deal or not, I can't believe that just another thing is not happening in Wellington. It just feels like this is what we do in the city. We propose projects, we argue about them, we oppose them, and then they don't go ahead. Not saying I necessarily support the Reading deal, but I just think in the context of that, it's, you know, another one to add to the tally.
Someone clever like you should do an article about all the things that are major to the city's success that have been stopped or we've lost. It would be a novel. It wouldn't be an article.
It would. And it just worries me because nothing's changing. And I know that I've got that view across several times on this show. But look, the second thing is how terrible I think this is for Tori Whānau's mayoralty. You know, I wrote a column last year saying that she was in need of a win. She hinted that she had a win up her sleeve. It turned out that that win was the Reading Cinema deal. She's pointed to a lot of other things that are happening in this part of town, like the St James Theatre reopening.
But that wasn't her. She can't claim the win on that one, can she? Sorry,
there, Nick.
That was really rude of me. Sorry.
The Tākina Convention Centre, and as you rightfully say, yes, she was there for the opening of the convention centre. That was set in motion years ago, and so Reading Cinema, I suppose, was going to be her thing. Like even the Golden Mile isn't her thing. Like that was set in motion before she became the mayor. And she's lost that. And it just feels like she was elected on this platform of transformation. And all these projects that were going to help her do that are sort of slipping between her fingers.
Great. Now, well, how much does it cost us?
Well, hopefully we'll find that out. But, you know, there was a code of conduct investigation into this. That was more than $40,000. You know, presumably the council, you know, might have called in consultants and things like that when they were doing due diligence. I would think so, but I don't know for sure. So, yeah, we will tally it up. But as Councillor Nicola Young says, look, that is a small cost in comparison to what the deal would have cost ratepayers if it went ahead.
You know what really concerned me was, you know, a lot of people are desperate at the moment. Business is tough. I include myself in that. So I reckon what would have happened is Reading would have taken the money, especially the $6 million deposit, used it to fund other issues that they've got all over the world, and nothing would have happened. That's what was my biggest scare, so I'm actually quite pleased.
I would be surprised, though, if within the commercial terms that money wasn't ring-fenced.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, you would know more than me on that. What happened with the earthquake-prone building loan scheme? I've had a lot of emails on this. The government's just cancelled. I asked Nicola about it. She didn't want to. She said the system wasn't right and was too hard and all that, but she didn't tell me whether she's got a replacement for it.
Oh, thanks for asking. Look, as I foreshadowed on the show last week, the government did indeed announce they're bringing forward a review of the earthquake-prone building rules. They're giving everybody a four-year extension on their remediation deadlines. But there was a little kind of twist to this announcement that the government wasn't so forthcoming with, and that is that they have also cancelled the loan scheme to help earthquake-prone building owners. They're winding it down, bringing it to an end. And just to be clear, like, this is devastating for people who were relying on these loans of up to $250,000 from the government to strengthen their buildings. And talking to some of these owners and or, you know, people in these buildings, they just feel like they've had the carpet pulled out from underneath them.
I think to and to realise that, because I've got family members exactly in that situation, they can't borrow. The banks don't want to loan that $250,000 because they're an earthquake strength building and it's an apartment. Everyone's telling them not to do it. So the bank doesn't lend them the money. How do they get the money if the government doesn't do it?
Exactly. And the government sort of said, well, you know, we don't want to be giving money to these owners to strengthen their buildings who might not need to strengthen their buildings after our review has finished. But I just think that these owners should be able to rely on a government scheme like this. And those who have pre-approvals, I think, should be able to draw down that loan.
Yeah, I think they can, don't you? I mean, one of the emails I got said that they had been approved, and they said they because it's been approved, they could get it. So I don't know. I'm just going on one email, but that's what they said to me, that because it had been approved and signed off, they will still get the money. I want to also ask you about something, because I read this. I read an article that I'd like to talk to you about too, George, about the fact that young people and drugs is just like now more than any other generation. It, you know, young people. You know, if you got your keys, if you got your driver's license, have you got your ID, have you got your drugs before they go out at night? And now there's a police have put a warning out about a dangerous drug being found around Wellington, and I'm not going to ask you to explain it because it's 27 letters long, but tell us what, how and why this drug is so dangerous.
Yeah, this drug is a highly synthetic opioid and it's been found in a fake diazepam tablet in Wellington. It's possibly in circulation nationwide. So a warning has been put out because there are concerns that people who take this tablet, believing it to be diazepam, are at significant risk of harm, including death, even from a single tablet. So it's... Yeah, I think authorities are a little bit alarmed by it. You know, the substance could also be available as a blue powder made from crushed tablets, they say. And just a warning that it's important to never assume that what you have is the same as what you're being told it is.
And the question is, diazepam is a antidepressant, huh? That's for our listeners that don't know what it is. So people that might be slightly vulnerable will be more inclined to buy this on the black market rather than go to a doctor and say, hey, I've got a prop, you know?
So yeah.
Am I right?
Potentially. And, you know, this particular drug, you know, it can easily lead to an overdose, even among people with experience using opioids, some nasty side effects like slowed breathing, cold and clammy skin, seizures and loss of consciousness. So it is quite a serious drug.
And can kill.
Yes. Yeah, so that's just to be on the lookout that, this tablet has been found in Wellington.
And why, I mean, can I just ask you, and you don't have to answer this, but why is it seemed so prevalent in this latest generation that drugs are okay? It sort of seems to have gone from a few to a many. So if you don't answer, if you don't want to answer, I'm just curious myself because I read this article and I wanted to do something on it sooner or later.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I'm not an expert on this particular topic, but I can, from my own observations, see a real shift. Like, I think my generation, just for listeners' context, I'm 30 years old. I think my generation drinks more alcohol than, say,
40-year-olds. Oh, you're not in that generation. I'm not talking your generation. I'm talking the generation way after you. I'm not saying. You're talking about Ethan's generation, aren't we?
So I can see the difference there, and I don't know if that, you know, they're maybe more inclined to do other drugs than alcohol. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was a difficult question to ask you, and I know that, I want to make sure that people realise that Georgina's definitely not in that camp of that age group that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 16 to 25-year-olds.
I'm old now, getting old.
Ah, well, you do a fantastic job and we love you. New Zealand Herald's Wellington's issues reporter, Georgina Campbell. She has got lots on over the next few days before she takes her break. She's got to tell us how much Reading's cost us, what's going to happen in Reading.
I wish I had the answers to those questions, I'll try.
You'll have them. Thank you. Always a pleasure. Georgina Campbell.
For more from Wellington Mornings with Nick Mills, listen live to News Talk ZB Wellington from 9 a.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.